Good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Michael Tolercio, pastoral intern of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and it's day 576 as we continue through the book of 2 Chronicles together. We're looking at chapter 9 today. Chapter 9 is like the high point in Israel's history. And as we go to the passage before us, let's ask that God would help us to understand why it is and what it means for our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have provided this passage of Scripture for your people to learn about you from, to learn about your love for your people, and to be transformed by this word. We pray that that's what would happen, and we pray that you would help us to see how this passage points us forward from the time that it was written to the time when your Son came, and to the future that we in him have as believers in Jesus. We pray this for Jesus' glory and for our good as his people. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. Having a very great retinue and camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from Solomon that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, and their clothing, his cupbearers and their clothing, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, half the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You surpass the report that I heard. Happy are your wives. Happy are these your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on his throne as king for the Lord your God. Because your God loved Israel and would establish them forever, he has made you king over them, that you may execute justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. There were no spices such as those that the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, the servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon who brought gold from Ophir brought algum wood and precious stones. And the king made from the algum wood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, lyres also and harps for the singers. There never was seen the like of them before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides what she had brought to the king. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in one year was 666 talents of gold, besides that which the explorers and merchants brought. And all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the land brought gold and silver to Solomon. King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold. 600 shekels of beaten gold went into each shield. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 300 shekels of gold went into each shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. The king also made a great ivory throne and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had six steps and a footstool of gold, which were attached to the throne, and on each side of the seat were armrests and two lions standing beside the armrests, while 12 lions stood there, one on each end of a step on the six steps. Nothing like it was ever made for any kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. Silver was not considered as anything in the days of Solomon, for the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish used to come bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put into his mind. Every one of them brought his present, articles of silver and of gold, garments, myrrh, spices, horses, and mules, so much year by year. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. And he ruled over all the kings from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And the king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone, and he made cedar as plentiful as the sycamores of the Shephelah. And horses were imported for Solomon from Egypt and from all lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, from first to last, are they not written in the history of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam the son of Nebat? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father. And Rehoboam his son reigned in his place. Proverbs 4:7 reads, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom." I wonder, what would you give to get wisdom? Well, in today's passage in 2 Chronicles, the Queen of Sheba gives a lot in order to get wisdom, or at least to be in the presence of somebody very wise. She's heard reports about Solomon, and she goes to see him. She goes to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions, having a very great retinue and camels bearing spices, all kinds of stuff with her. This Queen of Sheba gets up and travels what some have estimated to be 1,200 miles. It's been said that the area of Sheba is in Arabia, and it's actually been assumed by some that that's down in Africa in the area of either Eritrea or, more commonly thought, Ethiopia. So this queen of this African group has traveled far to get to Jerusalem, and she has made it a point to carry with her many people and many things, spices and precious stones, very much gold. It's interesting how valuable wisdom is, that this woman would travel so far to get it. And we know that wisdom really can't be bought with gold. The Proverbs teach us that. Job 28, interestingly, verses 12 to 19 of Job 28 tell us that. And they make reference, those verses make reference to so many things that we see in today's passage. Gold, the gold of Ophir, Ethiopia is mentioned. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal the value of wisdom, nor can wisdom be valued in pure gold, Job 28:19. We just see that wisdom can't really be bought. And yet this woman goes to buy it, so it seems, with gold, with so much gold, this Queen of Sheba. Now, she doesn't actually buy wisdom. She is blessed by Solomon and the wisdom that he provides, and then she gives as a gift all of this gold, which she brought with her as part of the retinue. And it just goes to show the lengths to which this Queen of Sheba, or possibly Ethiopia, went to encounter wisdom and to gain it. And I wonder what we're doing to gain wisdom. I think personally that what we often want is the gold that Solomon had. We're unlike this queen who's willing to give gold to try to get wisdom. We want the gold that Solomon has. And here's just a friendly word of encouragement for us from today's passage. Don't try to get what Solomon had, because it was so extensive that we'll never be able to. We'll never be able to be like Solomon. We'll never be able to have all of the stuff Solomon had. So why try? Why try to be that popular, that great, that well-known, that successful, to have all of that stuff that Solomon had. I mean, we sometimes want to be on top. We want to have it all. We'll never have anything quite like Solomon did. They couldn't even measure the amount of gold. 16 references to gold in today's chapter. It's a lot. Let's instead seek what the Queen of Sheba sought, which was the kind of wisdom that Solomon had to share. Let's not seek Solomon's stuff. Let's seek Solomon in the way that the Queen of Sheba did. Now, the kind of Solomon that we're seeking is not the man that we're reading of, but the greater one, Jesus, who would actually reference this passage at a later point in Scripture, Luke chapter 11. Also in Matthew as well, but in Luke 11, we see one of these references here with Jesus speaking about the sign of Jonah. He says in verse 29, "This generation is an evil generation." He's speaking to the people and the crowd who were with him in his day. And he says, "It seeks, the generation that's with me, seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." He's speaking about this Queen of Sheba that we just read about, calling her the Queen of the South, probably again because she's from down in Africa, maybe Ethiopia. And he says about her, "She came from the ends of the earth." It must have definitely seemed like the ends of the earth to the people in Solomon's day, all the way down there in Ethiopia. She came a great distance, Jesus is saying, a great distance, to hear the wisdom just of Solomon, and something so much greater, someone so much greater than Solomon is among you. All that Solomon had to offer paled in comparison to Jesus Christ and what he has to offer to people. And if the Queen of Sheba traveled from the ends of the earth to see Solomon and to hear from him and to learn from him, what are we doing to see Jesus, to hear from him, to learn from him, to pursue him? What are we doing? It's a sobering question. Are we trying to gain things in life? Are we trying to amass wealth like Solomon had? Or are we willing to give our wealth in order to get just a little bit of Jesus's teaching? Just hear from him and understand who he is and what he has come to do a little bit more deeply. What are we looking to give up rather than to amass for ourselves in order to know Jesus more clearly today? That's a question for us to think about. Let's not be like that evil generation. Let's be a little bit more like the Queen of Sheba. And let's go to Jesus now, who has given access to us, to his Father. Jesus came from the ends of the earth. He came further from the ends of the earth. He came from heaven to earth for us, that we could go to his Father, that he could bring us to his Father. From another realm, Ephesians 4 says, Jesus came in order to bring us in the wake of his victory over all that stood in our way to be with God. Jesus came and defeated and dealt with all of it in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And he carries us to God's presence. It's a great distance that Jesus has traversed and now brings us to be with the Father. And we can thank him for that. So let's do that now. God, thank you that Jesus has come to us. The Queen of Sheba traveled far to get to Solomon's presence, but Jesus came from heaven to earth. Please, Lord, help us to pursue Jesus. Help us to care most about him, to give up everything, to see him more clearly today. May your Holy Spirit convict us as he lives in us, that would be our chief priority, to see Jesus more clearly. And may he make it so in our lives today. Then into the future, we pray in his name. Amen. Thanks for joining us for this look at 2 Chronicles 9, this high point in the history of Israel, and at least in the book of 2 Chronicles. We'll see what happens next as we continue making our way through it. Until then, have a blessed day in the Lord.